Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Powerhouse. It's time to take action, destroy the noise, and say yes to yourself. And now, entering the ring, in your corner, your pull no punches accountability champion, Candy Barone.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Powerhouse Podcast. I am super excited today because I have a phenomenal powerhouse leader with me in the ring, and I cannot wait for you to hear his story. He has got a just knockout, powerful message that I know so many of you are going to resonate with. Before we get into all of that, though, let me welcome my dear friend, Clarence Caldwell, to the show.
Hello, Candy. It is so good to be here.
Well, it is good to have you here, and we are going to dig deep, and we are going to go a couple rounds today to really provide some just juicy content, some juicy information for all of you listeners. And before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Clarence. He is just amazing. And for those of you that don't know, he actually spoke at my Leaders Empowered Strong Summit just this past August in this year, and was just incredible, completely owned the stage, just had a great message. And I know he's going to share so much of that with us today. But rising from homelessness and poverty to become a senior executive, Clarence now leads other leaders to become high performers in business and in life. After waking up homeless in the backseat of a car some years ago, Clarence discovered what it takes to be successful in life and has applied these principles to his business and his career. Years later, while sitting in the boardroom of a Fortune 100 company, Clarence experienced another backseat moment, love that, an inner calling to help others reach their true potential. This voice was too loud for him to ignore. I know many of you can relate to this. Starting with at-use youth in juvenile halls, Clarence is now leading leaders to greater success with the ultimate motive of having executives give back to these struggling youth. Passionate to create a legacy that will shift the trajectory of millions of people, driven by his love for his beautiful grandchildren and his desire to see a more inclusive world for them. Wow. If he didn't have already a powerful message, the man has my heart simply because of his just desire and passion to influence and affect change for our children and for the generations that are coming. So Clarence, I would love for you to share a little bit more about your story and how you've arrived here.
Well, thank you, Candy. I really appreciate that and the opportunity. My hope is that as we talk today, that there is something that connects with each and every person listening that they can relate to. Now, certainly my story is my story. And so this is not about, hey, this is my story, listen and enjoy it. This is about your story. This is about what you've gone through. Everyone that's listening, yourself, Candy. If you can relate to any part of this in some way, there is a nugget inside of that that I hope that you can uncover that will allow you to move from the backseat of your car as a homeless person. And I know many people are not homeless, but wherever you are today, it can move you to your boardroom. And you may not aspire to be in a boardroom anywhere, but wherever you're hoping to go, these same lessons, these same tenets, if you will, can get you there and will get you there if you follow them. And so that's my hope today. And certainly, you know, my story is simply my story. But the truth of the matter is, in order to move along that journey, there was a lot of joy, of course, and there was a lot of pain also. But there were a lot of lessons learned that I've captured, and I just want to share with the world. And I just want to share with anyone who's willing to take the step and move down their journey likewise.
Well, Clarence, I love that you start the discussion around what you really hope people are going to either resonate with or pull nuggets from and be able to relate to and connect to and walk away with. So it's so powerful because I know that's the way that you show up and how you serve. And I'm curious, as you know, not everybody has the homeless to, you know, the boardroom type story or the, in some cases, that may not be in the exact frame that yours was structured, but so many people can relate to that fact of feeling lost and feeling, you know, like they don't know where their home is or their place is within inside themselves and how to open up access to more and abundance and other things. And I'm curious if you could share with our listeners, what was one of those turning points for you? What was one of those shifts that happened that allowed you to go from that space of being homeless to really standing in a place of power and creating a place where you had a voice and were creating opportunity?
I'm going to use a little metaphor here, and it just came to mind as you were talking. So this is not one that I use very often, obviously. I don't know if you've ever been asleep at night and you've heard this noise outside or a noise maybe inside your home. It could be a drippy a faucet or a toilet that keeps running. And you, right when you're sleeping, you're like, you kind of ignore it. He's like, okay, it'll go away. And it just never goes away. And in fact, it gets to a place where you put the pillow over your head and you just like, you try to ignore it. But at some point you just say, that's it. I'm getting up. I'm going to go turn that faucet up. I'm going to jiggle the toilet handle or whatever it takes to get that noise gone. And so I would like to say there was this one point, this watershed moment that turned me around. But truly, there was this inner voice. There was this thing inside of me that just kept gnawing at me and telling me that you're not meant to be homeless. You're not meant to be sleeping in the backseat of this car. And I ignored that voice for quite a while, unfortunately, but it just kept persisting. And at some point, I just took the pillow off my head, got up and said, okay, I'm going to fix this. And so many people have that inner voice, that nagging thought that, okay, I'm meant for more. I've got to do something different. But we often suppress it and we often just ignore it. But it's not going to go away if it's truly a part of you.
Well, I have to say, I have the best visual in my head right now. And for everyone that's listening that knows me, knows that I cannot let that lie. The fact that I'm really now going to look at my inner voice as being a running toilet, and therefore it's going to stick with me forever and a day. And so I think that's interesting because as we continue to go, I said we were going to dig deep. Man, we're not wasting any time. I love that because, I mean, that's a powerful metaphor. I'm all for creating those visualizations for people so they can really connect to, you know, what's going on. And so I'm going to ask, as we keep having this conversation and Clarence shares more with us, this is fascinating. I want to ask all of you listeners right now, what's the dripping faucet or the, you know, running toilet that you're not addressing right now? And what's that costing you? Because think about that. That running toilet's going to be costing you some pretty hefty water bills if you don't take care of it. And so I think it's really interesting while I'm poking some fun at that, I think it's actually a very powerful metaphor when you think about there's things that are constantly nagging on us that we oftentimes either ignore, we push to the side. So how does somebody say that they've got the dripping faucet or they've got the running toilet and that inner voice is going on and on and on and on and on? And a lot of times I've found, and I don't know if you find this to be the same thing, that it's been because there's been fear, there's been, you know, anxiety, there's been the unknown, it's that uncomfortable space. How do you help people move through that when they start to acknowledge that it's time to take care of the problem and start to address it from kind of the root cause so that they don't have that running faucet, that dripping faucet or that running toilet?
One of the things that I try to do is I look through my life and my situations usually through a lens or a filter that I call the five immutable laws of leadership, the five immutable laws of life, for whatever it is. And what you're hitting on right now is one of those laws that is the law of courage, and that is overcoming those fears. But if I can just take a step back, because there's a point before even recognizing that there's a fear that you must really handle. And that's the first couple of laws, which are choice and commitment. When you make the choices that you make in life, these things are where it leads you to where you are. And people look at me and they say, I don't like when you say this, Clarence, but the truth is, wherever you are in your life, is a matter of the choices you've made. It's really that simple. Now, it's not easy, but it's simple. Wherever you are is a matter of the choices you've made. So being able to make those right choices or make different choices is so critical in having that skill set. Because when you get to a place where you are faced with a fear of failure, a fear of embarrassment, rejection, or whatever it might be, you know that you have a choice at that point. And you know if you have a skill to make better choices, then you can identify the fear and do something about it. But just being out there without that foundation of knowing you are capable of making the choice and committing to it, courage piece is very, it's much more difficult to raise.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, everything we talk about, right? For all my listeners, you know that we talk about leadership as a choice. Everything starts from the power of choice. It's a choice in how you choose to show up. It's a choice in how you choose to serve. And it's a choice in how you take that personal responsibility. And so, you know, I love that when you start talking about the five immutable laws, which I really want you to dig into a little bit here in just a moment, because you really kind of alluded to the first three. But it starts with that power of choice and to know that we have a responsibility inside of that and to know that everything that's in front of us is a choice, even if it's just in how we react, I think is so incredibly powerful and such a space that oftentimes we find ourselves copping out of. We find ourselves handing over because don't you find sometimes that people say, I don't want to make a choice. It's too difficult to make a choice. And I'm curious from your perspective, because I know I've talked about this at times, when people choose not to make a choice, what happens in that, circumstance before we even get into the rest of the immutable laws?
Yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah. And you know this as well as anyone, Candy, not making a choice is in fact a choice because you decided that you're going to live your life by default. As opposed to by design, you're not taking ownership. And if you're not taking ownership, that's a choice. You're just going to leave it up to whatever happens, happens. The interesting thing about this is, even though you don't want to make a choice, you don't have an option.
I tell people constantly, you not making a choice is the most powerful choice you just made. Just handed your power over to someone else.
Exactly.
Because I think that's awesome that you just said that. Because whether you want to or not, everything is a choice.
Absolutely.
Everything, it's a choice to breathe. I mean, literally, you can find ways to shut it off, right?
That's right.
Everything is a choice. And when you understand that, then you start to take that ownership. I love that you use that word ownership to really drive it and stand in a space to say, well, if I got to make a choice either way, maybe I want to take some ownership to make the choice that's going to serve me and the people around me best.
Right. Right.
So you talked about choice, you talked about commitment, and you talked about courage. Talk about how those three play in with the other two to round out those five immutable laws that you're so passionate about. And I know that you do so much teaching and training around.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. You know, just to put a bow around this choice piece, because, you know, like you said, we can go deep on any one of these and I know you're like ready to go. Well, I love that about you because I know we can go forever, but there's a key part of this choice piece that I want people to understand. And it took me a while to get to this. Yes, we all have a choice, but it's sometimes difficult to decide what choices we should make. And that's where people get stuck. Yeah, I know I have a choice, but should I do this or should I do that? How should I approach this? And my only suggestion there is to get more connected with your, I'll just call it your emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So understanding that being more emotionally mature, I guess that's another way of putting it, allows you to stand firm in a place that gives you the best choice you can make at that time. Now, no one knows what the outcome is going to be on any choice they make necessarily. But when you are standing firm in your emotional maturity and you have great emotional intelligence, your choices are much more powerful. And I tell people this all the time that when I was homeless, I didn't realize it then, but I chose to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the boardroom of a Fortune 100 company, I chose to be in that boardroom. It was all about choice, but I didn't have the emotional maturity to understand that the decisions I was making led me to those places.
Okay, well, I'm going to call Squirrel because I need to get a little tangent and go down a rabbit hole for just a moment. I know we were going to, I promised that we're going to get to the other two. Well, you will get the other two immutable laws.
Okay.
I want to talk about emotional maturity because I know that there's people out there that their brain just went blah, 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 blah. And, or they went, how the heck am I supposed to do that? Because that's a great word. And oh my gosh, I work for a company or I work for a business that, oh, we do everything to not touch emotions and emotional intelligence is not this. I think we need to address the little hairy elephant that's sitting in the room right now, which is this idea around emotional maturity. So would you, in your perspective, offer a definition and shed some light on what you mean when you say emotional maturity and perhaps how one might start to go take the action and the steps to move into that space? Because it's not something you just get to go, okay, now I'm going to be emotionally mature.
Yes, exactly.
I wish it were that simple.
it takes an understanding and it takes a bit of practice. So I know we've got limited time, so I'm going to try to make this quick, but I'm going to try to make it on point. We have a range of emotions within us. They're just always available to us. Everything from our ultimate connection to who we truly are, which I will call love as an emotion, all the way down to the very bottom low, we'll call it low frequency emotion of fear and despair. Along that path, there are probably hundreds of emotions that we feel, everything from complacency to disappointment, to anger, to hatred, to revenge. You know, it goes further and further down the path. But the key is to understand where you are at any given point in time on that scale. And we're never always in the place of love, and we're never always in a place of fear. Although we'd like to be always in a place of love, that's where you always want to move toward. So as you identify where you are at any given point in time, someone cuts you off in traffic, what is that emotion that comes up for you at that moment? Is it one of disappointment? Is it one of anger? Is it one of hatred? Where are you? And once you recognize that place, now you have the choice, right? You have the you can choose, do I sit in this place emotionally? And the unfortunate part of sitting in one place emotionally, you'll have a tendency to spiral downward. And so if you sit in that place, you know that you're going to go from anger to hatred, to revenge, to it gets worse and worse. And now you're going to catch up with that driver and you're going to cut him off. So you can go that direction, or you can decide that, you know what, that was not really cool. And I do know that I want to be in a better place. So what can I do to move myself up one tick on that emotional scale, whatever it is? You know what? I'm going to put on my favorite song right now. That always cheers me up. And then you begin to take control of that emotional scale and you start to move yourself up more toward the love side, if you will. And as you get better and better at doing that, that's where the maturity comes in. That's the intelligence that you have about your own emotional state that you can play with, you can begin to use and practice. And it happens in all parts of our lives, our relationships, our business, everywhere. And so once you get good at that, then your choices become, I'll just call them better choices.
Love that. And I'm going to repeat back something you said earlier, which was, it's not easy, but it's simple.
Yes.
It's really simple when you start to understand what that scale looks like. I absolutely love your definition around the emotional maturity and that scale, that spectrum that you get to work with, because I mean, that's the power of choice. The more options you have, or the more clarity and information you have within those options, which is that emotional, you know, scale of where you're sitting, the better decisions and the better choices you make. And so just a powerful frame that you set forth. And I can already say this, and I'm going to say this because I may forget at the end. We are going to have you come back. I hope you will come back because we got so much more to dig into. That means that I'm going to pull us back out of that little rabbit hole for a minute so that we can get back to the five immutable laws and how they connect and play together.
Okay, I'm going to go through the other ones much quicker.
keep going.
Although each one of these has a depth to it that almost seems to be no end, but there's some very meaningful power in those that really will make a difference in people's from their breadline to their boardroom, so to speak. The next one is commitment. And this one, I'll just say that we make a lot of commitments every day to ourselves and to others. And we get overwhelmed sometimes because of all the commitments that we have. And so my only issue here is that we need to understand the choices that we make, the decisions that we make. You can either commit to it or not. You don't have to commit to every choice that you make. In fact, there is a scale that I use, another scale, if you want to visualize let's call it a gas gauge. On the left side of the gas gauge is this place of apathy where you could care less. I want to put on a blue shirt today. And it doesn't really matter. So if I put this shirt on and it has a stain on it, no big deal. I'll take it off and I'll put on the red shirt. So I made a choice to put on the blue shirt, but it's not a commitment. It's just an intention. So we have choices we make that are purely intentions. And then there's this point on this gas gauge at the middle, I'll call it just for sake of illustration, where we begin to commit. This choice means more to us. And at that point, we begin to, we give our word on it. We make a promise, we make a pledge, or we take an oath, or we vow, or we can do a guarantee, or we say it's our duty. Once we speak those words, then it becomes the commitment. And so my caution to everyone is to know where that line is for you, where you're literally going to make your word, your bond. You're going to promise and pledge, because at that point, it's your commitment. Mm. Now, the thing about your commitment is, whenever you break your commitment, what you're doing is you're affecting your character, your integrity, your reputation, your influence on others, your trustworthiness, your honor. All of those things are at stake when you break commitments. And so if you look at it that way, it's like you got to be really careful on the commitments you make, because you don't want to change that character, integrity, reputation, trustworthiness. You want to, those are golden. So be careful of the commitments you make to others and yourself when you promise, when you pledge. And when you have that line pretty clear in your mind, then most of your decisions, most of your choices are actually intentions. And you can be clear about that when people ask you to do something. Yeah, I'll do that. But I got to tell you, I can't promise you I'm going to do that. And once you do that, you kind of free yourself from a commitment, and you'll still have every intention of doing it. But once you commit, it's a different world altogether.
Wow. What a great distinction. And I also know why you and I are so easily connected when we were introduced. You do everything on scales and gauges, just like I do. I love having that on a scale of 1 to 10. I like the gas gauge analogy though. Might have to use that one before. But I mean, just a great distinction, right? I think that definition, I love that you're really defining these words so that we can get clear on. I think we get really lazy sometimes when it comes to just spewing words and saying things because they sound good, and yes, not having the intention and really understanding what right. we mean when we put those out there. And so the fact that you really got into that space to distinctly, you know, define what you mean when you say commitment, that's quite powerful.
Yes. And others will take our intention as a commitment sometimes. You know, I had a friend who would always say he'd meet us for dinner at a certain time, but he was always late. And I said, Joe, you always miss this date. I mean, his integrity was suffering in my eyes. His reputation was suffering in my eyes. But to Joe, it wasn't a commitment. He only had an intention of being there at 8. Mm-hmm. And because he never really promised, he never pledged, he never put an oath on it. So once we got that clear, Joe now says, hey, look, I'll be there at 8. But, you know, I can't promise you I'll be there. If I'm not there, start without me. And that opens up the door for his integrity to stay intact so much better. And so I just caution everyone that when you give your word, it becomes a commitment. And if not, you need to let people know, hey, this is really my intention. We meet about, I'd say, I'm only using myself, about 70% of my intentions I'll follow through with. And a lot of people are 30%. But if you get a commitment from me, it's 99% to 100%, because I know where that line is, and I know I'm going to, if I commit, I'm all in. And so once you get clear about that, your integrity really, really, and your influence increases tremendously.
Absolutely. And I think you and I have friends that hang out together, because I got a few of those friends that we need to work on whether or not it's an intention or a commitment. Because I have a friend that we say noon, we tell her 11:30. She's still talking. I'm like, I don't quite understand how this works. But anyway, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. This is awesome stuff. And
all right.
I know we're getting close on time, but I really want you to get into that last immutable law, because I know there's five and we've really addressed four of them so far. And like, we're going to have you come back. Maybe we need to do a show on each one and really dig in.
Sure.
But what is that last immutable law that's out there as you look at, you know, you got choice, commitment, courage, commitment, and then don't leave us hanging on that last one.
Okay. So there's choice, commitment, courage, confidence, and then there's celebration. With confidence, real quickly, is it's about your self-doubt versus your self-belief. And there's a way to build that. And it also includes your competence. If you're not competent, you're not going to be confident. So the last...
The alliterations, all the C's. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Okay, go ahead.
The last one is celebration. And it's not the typical celebration that you and I are familiar with, which is, I did a great job. Let's open the champagne. Let's celebrate. Pat myself on the back. Let's get the kudos. Everybody, you know, great job. That's a part of celebration that's important for us. We must take time to receive that, to celebrate our wins, the little ones and the big ones. That's very, very important. But to me, celebration has another side to it. And it comes from a 19th century philosopher that I read his book called I and Thou. And it talks about how we relate to each other. And I won't go into that because that's a rabbit hole that I don't want to go down. But essentially, the other side of celebration is not what we receive, it's about what we give. When you give with gratitude and you are so thankful and you're grateful and you give in that space, you will actually gain. So those are three G's, not C's. You have gratitude, you give, and you gain. And giving is a unique animal, because you must give without the idea of any reciprocity. You have to give just because it's a part of you to give. Even when have you ever given something to someone and they didn't say thank you, and you're like, they didn't even say thank you. Well, it shouldn't matter, because if you're trading what you're giving for a thank you, that's what you're doing. You're trading, you're not giving. So giving without expecting anything in return, that's true giving. And so if you can give from that place, that's a total different way of celebrating. And so that's the fifth immutable law. Celebration is about giving.
Oh, that is beautiful. And I love how that rounds this whole discussion out around giving with gratitude. Everything has to be about gratitude in order to be in that space that really opens up access to so much more. And I mean, you have just been proof. I mean, you've demonstrated and clearly walked your talk in the time that we've been on this, you know, journey together, as brief as it's been. And you've done nothing but give with gratitude. And so I have a tremendous gratitude and appreciation for what you're sharing and what the conversation that we're having here. And, you know, because I want to make sure that my audience that's listening, and I know many of them are taking crazy notes right now, and they're just fascinated and want to dig in. And we saw that happen even at the summit, you know, a couple of weeks ago. People are like, okay, you can't be done. We want to get more information. How can they access more information, and what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to make it very simple. Just go to my website. It's clarencecaldwell.com. And you can put in your contact information if you want more, or there should be a couple of giveaways there. You can watch videos, hear more about the work that I'm doing, the podcast, all those things are there on the clarencecaldwell.com website. So, you know, nothing other than just find me there. And you can find me in a lot of different other places as well, Facebook and Twitter and all those other sites. But if you go to my website, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, and we're going to give you access to his links below as well. But I want you to realize that that's Clarence Caldwell, and that's C-L-A-R-E-N-C-E Caldwell, CaldWell.com for those of you that are eager to get out there and take a look at what Clarence has to offer. I also want to let you know a little secret that he's got an upcoming book that's going to be coming out here shortly. So I also want you to stay tuned and pay attention because we will also be dropping a link in when his book is ready and is released, but super excited because he gets into the five immutable laws as well as some other amazing strategies and information. So super excited to get a copy of it myself.
Fantastic.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Are you kidding? This is just absolutely brilliant. And so as we're closing things out, I'm a little sad our time's done and we are definitely going to have to bring you back. What last bit, you know, of information or thoughts or insights would you like to share with the listeners right now?
Yeah, you know, it's nothing that's very, you know, nothing complicated. Again, I look at life through the lens of these five laws, and I just take that first one that we talked about. That is really a testament of the fact that you are a creator. You are made in the image of your maker. And your maker made you so that you could make things. You are a creator, and it starts with the choices you make to create the life that you want.
Oh, so beautiful. And as that creator who has the choice, are you going to choose to get up and fix the running toilet? Or are you going to choose to pull the covers and pillow over your head and go back to doing the same thing you've always done? This is your opportunity to say yes to yourself, destroy the noise, and truly take the action that's going to propel you forward to be the leader you were destined to be and to be the person who gets to create in all the gifts that you were given. So again, Clarence, thank you so, so deeply for joining us today on this show. I look forward to having you all come back and joining us next time on the Powerhouse Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We will catch up with you soon.
Thanks for joining us at the Powerhouse. Now it's time to tap into your power, drive for greater results, and live your life with greater purpose by going to sayyesquiz.com. You'll discover what's been holding you back and learn how to play at your best and highest level so you can truly live a full, vibrant, productive, inspired, and purposeful life, spilling over with abundance. Let's go the distance. Go to sayyesquiz.com now and come back for our next powerful episode.